Welcome to episode 3 of the Empower the Game podcast. We're your hosts, Paige Jammert and Caitlin Smith.
The goal of this podcast is to empower women in sports and inspire females who are looking to enter the industry. Today we have Lauren Walsh with us. She is the founder of LW Branding, a boutique branding and marketing agency. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I know you're about to be a mama times two very soon.
Yes, oh gosh, any day now. So thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk with you both.
So first, if you could tell everyone a little bit about your background and how you got to where you now are in terms of your career.
Absolutely. So I got my start basically right after college. I was a cheerleader at Purdue. And then after I graduated, I started working for the football team as a mentor. So I worked with a few of their student athletes on an individual basis, as well as on a group basis every single week. And it was really that point in time where kind of the light bulb went off. And I realized that I had such a passion for helping athletes understand that there's so much more to life than just sports. And so I did that for a couple of years. I ended up then moving back to Chicago from West Lafayette, maintained relationships with everyone that I'd worked with at Purdue. And lo and behold, you know, a few of my friends were playing in the NBA and the NFL. And also two of the individuals that I mentored had both made it to the NFL. So just simply because of the fact that they had trusted me when they were in college, they would come to me with different questions and just looking for advice in certain areas. And after enough time had gone by, I found myself just thinking how much I loved when they called and needed help. And I'd often ask them, you know, why are you calling me? Why don't you call your agent? And they'd always say, well, you know, I call my agent for business things and this and that, but you know, you get me. You knew me when I was in college. You knew me before I made any money. I trust you. I trust your opinion. And so eventually after 5 years in corporate America, I just started to think to myself, there has to be something here. You know, there's a few individuals who are calling me every now and then. I'm sure that they have a few teammates and a few friends. And I really think I can make something out of this. It also was just a very, very long time passion of mine to become an entrepreneur ever since I was a little girl. I mean, honestly, as far as I can think back, I've always wanted to own my own company. So this just felt like the perfect opportunity to walk away from corporate America and start my own agency. And now almost 6 years later, here we are.
I think it's incredible how you also, yes, you're an entrepreneur, but you also are very encouraging to other women about starting their own businesses as well. And not just, you know, you make sure to let others know that there's room for everybody in this industry. It does not have to be a competition. It's about helping each other and making sure that they make it to where they want to be as well.
I think the biggest thing with that is the fact that when I was getting started, I didn't have anyone reach their hand out and offer me help. I didn't have a mentor. There weren't all these females in the industry saying, hey, come with me, let me show you the ropes. And as I got further along in my career, and I would get more emails and more DMs and people asking for advice or looking for internship opportunities. And I started to realize that even though we like to say, you know, everyone kind of bands together and supports each other, I think there's still more room for that to happen. And I also, to be honest, and this may seem a little cliche, but I don't believe in competition. I believe that what makes every single person good at how they do something and makes them different is them. Like the reality is that I could literally give you every single thing that you need to know to start the exact agency that I started. But certain clients are going to flock to you because they want to work with you. There are other people who will come work with me and stay loyal forever because they like working with me. Like that's the thing at the end of the day. So I think that there is literally room for everyone. And I think when you have that mentality, it just, one, it changes your perspective, but two, I think it just changes the opportunities that come your way as well.
Yeah, definitely. So going along sort of with that and your little introduction, we just want to, I think we're sort of starting a trend with asking this like from all of our guests, but I think one of the main questions too that our audience would probably want answered is, what advice do you have specifically for females who are looking to have a career in sports?
The number one thing, you need to figure out who you are as a person. stop focusing on the fact that you want a career in sports, you want your title to be marketing manager, entrepreneur, you want to work for a sports agency, whatever that is. We need to take a step back and stop following what society has ingrained in our brains, which is the idea that we need to be known for what we do. We need to be known for who we are. And I promise you, if you can get to a point where you can take a step back and focus on being known for who you are, what you do will follow. So my biggest advice for women is always, before you even enter, or God forbid, if you're already in this industry, take a step back and hit the reset button now. It's literally never too late. Step back and ask yourself some hard questions. What is my why? What is important to me in life? Literally, why do I get out of bed in the morning? What are my core values? What is my personal mission? Why am I on this earth? You need to be able to answer all of those questions before you embark on any sort of opportunity, whether it's in sports or anywhere else. And I think it's even more important in the sports industry because it's very much a kind of perception is reality type industry where, you know, people want to post about the highlight reel and they want to show that they're hanging out with all these athletes. And the reality is that what goes on behind the scenes is a heck of a lot different than what you see on Instagram. And so you need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared for the grind and the hustle and what goes on and how hard it's going to be to just land that first client and then keep that client and then keep building that roster or to get in with an agency, which may take 3 unpaid internships before you get there. But I will tell you, if you are secure in who you are as a person and you can define what you are doing on this earth and where you are going, you will see the vision. You will understand that every single opportunity, whether it's your favorite thing or not, is working you towards that greater purpose and whatever that greater goal is that you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I don't think you could have said it any better. And I know that when I took your Empowering Women in Sports e-course, a big part of it was, you know, you allowing us to figure out who we are as individuals and figure out our why and our purpose. And I think you can't move forward in life and even in your career if you don't even define what your goal is or your mission or your purpose. So if you want to talk to us maybe a little bit about your Empowering Women in Sports e-course and like what led you to do that and how you want it to go and, you know, just like how incredible it is to find women who are willing to grow with you, you know?
Yeah, so to speak to how the course even came to be, I spoke to a group of women. I think there were 52 women on this Zoom call. And it just was an amazing opportunity to talk to women who already work in sports or who are trying to break into the industry. And I had all these amazing questions coming my way. And then after that Zoom call, I received more emails and DMs than I ever have from anything I've ever spoken at. And a lot of women were reaching out and saying, oh my gosh, you know, this thing that you said really resonated with me. Can you expand on this further? I have questions. And I stopped and realized, shoot, is there anything out there for these women? Like, I will make myself available and I'll answer all these questions that are coming in, but is there anything deeper? Like, is there a way for them to take what I've just taught in that 1 hour Zoom and translate it into actual action items that they can put towards their life? And I did the research and realized that there was not. There are conferences, there are different organizations you can join, you know, the annual fees, all that stuff that you can be a part of in groups you can join. However, there is nothing that literally gives you the exact tools and action items to make a change in your life. And I decided to do it. I said, you know what, if there's nothing out there, I'm just going to create it. Why not? Because I've lived it. And so that's how it came to be. I decided I wanted to be able to literally empower women who either already have a career or want to have a career in sports to have every single tool at their disposal and every single thing that I wish that someone had told me 6 years ago, because I had to figure a lot of it out the hard way. And so that's what it is. It literally, I take you through everything that I've done right and every single thing that I've done wrong and that I've learned from. And I offer up all the insights that I have on my own personal journey, as well as even just the little tidbits and insights on what events to go to, how to get into the events, what you need to do in terms of networking, and all these things that, again, I just had to figure out the hard way. I built it out to offer that up to women who are really looking to make an impact. As you can attest to, Caitlin, it's not something that you just sit back and you kind of watch me teach, and that's it. I mean, it's definitely geared towards women who want to make a true, deep, lasting impact in their life that is going to help them rise to the top in whatever type of role that they want to have within this industry, or finally decide to make that leap to start a podcast or start an agency and go after something that they've always wanted, you know, throughout their entire life.
Yeah, I think I can credit you to, you know, pushing me to start this podcast with Paige. You know, I don't think 6 months ago I would have been brave enough to start a podcast and just go for it, but your e-course is definitely encouraging and lets other women know that, you know, like what something really has stuck out to me from you is you like you said, like it's not a competition. Like you make sure to go out of your way to help other women and let them know that like we're not alone in this, and that you've been a big mentor for me, and I can attest for probably a lot of other women in that e-course that you're willing to help them get to that next level and let them know that they're not alone, especially in the sports industry that's not very women dominated, very male dominated. But I wanted to ask you, what are some of your goals as a woman in the sports industry that you might have not reached yet that you're still working towards?
You know, I think the biggest thing is really leaving my legacy. I mean, that's what it is. The one thing that I'm definitely still striving towards that I think will forever become a part of this, my mission of what I'm doing, is to empower as many other females as possible to either make the leap to get into the industry, to launch that podcast, to write that book, to launch that blog, whatever it may be. That's what it is now, because I've become kind of a student, I guess, of my own craft, meaning that all of these past years, I mean, it's been 10 years now since, you know, I graduated college and was able to start working for Purdue. So 10 years of working in the industry, I'm finally starting to see some of the fruits of my labor and starting to get to the point where, you know, people are coming to me and there's all these amazing opportunities, you know, and I want to keep doing that day in and day out. And of course, I want to keep impacting as many athletes as I can. But I also then really want to make it my focus to take every single thing that I know and that I'm learning day in and day out, and I want to give it away. I want to tell as many people as possible, and I want to empower as many women as possible. My main focus is women, because I truly believe that there are so many things that we get caught up in our heads about not being worthy, not being enough, comparing ourselves. And there's so many things that keep us back from following those dreams and achieving just those intense, like very high levels of success. And I want to see more women win in those aspects. So as my company continues to grow, my goal is not to move away from that. I always want to be working with athletes, because I think one thing that's important that unfortunately a lot of people make that move towards is that I don't want to be a professional e-course instructor. I don't. And a lot of people move into that space, and I get it. And I get that they do it because they make a lot of money and it offers a lot of life flexibility. But what makes me really good at teaching other people is that when I'm not teaching other people, I'm doing the actual work. And I think that's what's so important, and a lot of times what gets missed with a lot of people who build brands and run e-courses and have email lists. I want to always be doing the work day in and day out so that I always have stories and I always know what's going on in the industry, so that I can always share the most innovative tactics for the next group of women who need to know whatever that is to help them become successful in their own lane.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, obviously with that, there's a lot of things where, I mean, you want to be proud of what you're doing and, you know, impress people and just have people look at you and be like, wow, like I want to be like her. Like she would be a really good role model or something like that. So with that, obviously, I'm sure there's plenty of things that you're proud of that you've achieved throughout your career. So what are some experiences that you've had that specifically make you proud to be a female in the industry?
You know what it is? It's honestly the opportunities that I've gotten to work with some of the most sought after athletes in this industry. That's what it is, because it's being able to prove that someone who came out of college with a degree in retail management and financial planning, and literally aside from mentoring a few, you know, college football players, I'm not someone who is necessarily geared up to be able to be doing what I'm doing now and to work with some of the level of athletes that I am, but I worked my butt off, not just in terms of kind of the hustle and the grind and the day-to-day work, but also becoming someone who wanted to be a master at my craft. I mean, studying and reading and learning all the time and paying attention. Literally, like when I watch games, when I watch any sort of sporting event or different things, I watch the commercials to look for opportunities to find endorsement deals for my clients. Like everything is just constantly, how can I learn and what can I do? What can I do better? And so I think for me, that's the thing, is that it's so important to be able to realize that I'm not anyone. And I think that to me is what's so important, is that to be a woman, I'm very proud to be able to say, look, I came from this and here's where I am. And being able to work with, you know, a certain level of clients and have people that I've worked with, like, you know, Miles Garrett, Kirk Cousins, Terrell Owens, you know, I mean, just so many people that we've been working with over the last couple of years, that to me is what makes me proud. Because that to me proves that we not only deserve a seat at the table, but that you can do it. You can literally go out and do this kind of work. So it's getting those opportunities, and every single one of those opportunities that I just mentioned, someone called me. You know, I didn't sit over here and chase down all these different people. I got a phone call and was asked to come and have a seat at the table and at least attempt to be involved in part of the vetting process, where every single other person I can tell you who was a part of that process was a male. So that to me is one of the things that I'm extremely proud of at this point in my career.
Okay, so I know that you made a comment about in the other question that you had answered, you said, you know, even though you could be someone who just teaches e-courses all day, you know, you also answered the question that you had to ask yourself, like, who are you? Is that what you want to do every day? Like, no, yes, maybe in my extra time, but I also want to still work with athletes because that's what I value. That's the time I want to spend. And I thought that was really important because, yes, like you said, you probably could make a lot more money, you know, just working with e-courses, but sometimes it's not even about the money, you know, at the end of the day, it's about what you want to do and like what makes you happy. And I think that's very important that you said that. And, you know, I had another question. So like, had the athletes you work with taught you anything throughout your career that you didn't expect them to?
Oh gosh, every single one of them teaches me something different. You know, I think that it's also interesting. They've taught me different things at different stages of my life, because you have to keep in mind, over the course of 6 years, my life has completely changed from the point of like becoming a first-time mom, becoming a wife, now about to be having two kids. Like, I've had so many life events that I feel like every single one of them has helped me learn and grow and kind of develop together. I think one of the biggest things that they really, working with athletes, has taught me is really the idea that anything is possible, but you also should never assume that people know certain things. And what I mean by that is, people love to put athletes on a pedestal and assume that because they make tons of money, they get paid to literally do what they love every single day, that all of a sudden all these other things come with it. People love to assume that means that they know everything related to finance or business or all these different things. And one of the biggest things is understanding that just because you make a certain amount of money doesn't mean all those things come with it. And then I think the other thing is understanding that people are people. Like, they've also really taught me that you have to get to know people for who they are as a human. Again, to the first point I made on this podcast, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. And that is one of the biggest things that I've come to learn. And that's my favorite part of this. It really is. Like, when people ask what I love doing, forget the parties, forget the events, forget all the really cool things that I have access to. When I get a phone call from a client who's really struggling with something related to life off the field or off the court, and they need some advice, that is it. So I think that's the thing that I've learned from them too, is don't assume, again, it's kind of like the highlight reel, don't assume everyone has it all together just because it looks like they're living out the dream and they're making all this money. Allow an opportunity to get to know them as people and understand that we all have our struggles, and that you have to be able to be that person, that safe space for them to be able to go to and share some of that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, kind of forget that these professional athletes are real people. Like, they're, you know, we look at ESPN, NFL Network, and we're like, oh, like, they're celebrities. Like, you think they're a celebrity with their athletic profession, but at the end of the day, like, they're human beings. And I think a lot of people forget that you just have to treat them like normal people, because at the end of the day, you know, that's who they are. That goes down to their core values and what they value. And I think a lot of people question, like, well, how do you, I know, like, in my past, people asked me when I had, like, interned with you, like, how does Lauren get these clients? Like, how does she make these connections? So, like, if you could maybe, like, talk about a little bit about how, like, you get to finally have these athletes as your clients, you know, like, how you discovered the way to get athletes as your clients. I don't know, maybe.
Relationship building, 100%. Every single client I've ever worked with came by way of a referral. And I think even before that, it goes to the point that we kind of talked about earlier. It was me getting to a point where I knew myself, and it took me years to get to know myself and go through that whole process and come to understand what I do offer, becoming a trustworthy individual, making sure that I had all of my stuff in place. But it's honestly the hustle, the grind, and the relationships. I've made a point to be at every single NFL combine since I got into this industry. And you know what I do? I try to set up as many meetings as possible, and I ask people for referrals and introductions. And I literally just go between meeting to meeting to meeting all day long. And every meeting that I leave, I say, hey, by the way, while I'm here, is there anyone that you think that I should talk to? And typically they have one or two people, and they'll do a group text or group email literally right away as we're sitting there. There we go. There's my next connection. I think one of my favorite stories, you know, is how I ended up working with Miles Garrett, and the fact that I literally, no joke, I literally reached out to his agent for 3 years straight asking for a meeting. And every time he turned down my meeting, because he said, look, I don't do marketing. All I do is, you know, I just handle contract negotiations. I'm the wrong person to talk to. And then finally, after 3 years of him saying no, I got a phone call from Miles' dad, and he told me that his agent is the one who told him to call me. You know what I mean? Like, that is by way of the fact that I never gave up. Like, every time I asked him for a meeting and he said no, I said, okay, fine. See you, try again next year. And I did it every single year as the combine came around, because I'd say, no, you're going to be in Indianapolis. I am too. You know, let's go get together. Even if it's 5 minutes, I just want to shake your hand and introduce myself. And this past year at the combine, of course, there was time that was made that we sat down and didn't just have 5 minutes to shake a hand. I actually sat down and had a real conversation. But that goes to the point of being persistent, focusing on getting to know people, you know, like, and not getting just like looking for things. I mean, like, too many people get caught up in like, ooh, what can this person do for me? No, it's asking genuine, real questions. Some of my best meetings that I had this past year at the combine, half of it was spent, you know, just getting to know those people. Tell me about you. Tell me about your family. You know, what are you passionate about? A lot of times it turns to faith. You know, they'll say, oh, I, you know, saw that you, you're into your faith. Can we talk about that? That's what it is. Every single opportunity and client that I've worked with has come by way of that. So what you want to do is you have to put yourself out there. You have to be at the events, get yourself to the combine, get yourself to the draft, get yourself to all these different things. And don't be afraid to walk up to people and say, hey, just want to introduce myself. Send that DM, send that email. And then every single time when they say no, put a reminder on your calendar for 1 year later and have a follow-up and ask genuine questions to get to know these people. And eventually it will come to fruition, but you have to be patient, because some of my best relationships took anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 years for them to convert over into actual business relationships.
Yeah, and I think something that goes along with that that a lot of people worry about is the amount of time that you have to put in order to get, like, achieve those goals. So, I mean, obviously, most of these jobs are not 9-to-5 jobs, and I think that's something that anyone who is in school and is the same age as Caitlin and I are starting to realize that. So how, with you being a mom, how do you balance being a mom and being an entrepreneur and having to get to all of these events all the time?
Stopped trying to balance a long time ago. That's literally how I do it. I don't believe in work-life balance. I just believe in work-life blending and making it all work. And the reality is that I had to make a hard decision when I became a mom, and it was, do you want to keep working? At what level do you want to keep working? And for me, being able to be a successful entrepreneur and working in a male-dominated industry is something that I pray to God that my daughter looks up to. and that she looks at me and says, man, my mom was out there blazing trails, you know, when I was just a little girl. And, you know, that, and I want that to be something that makes her proud, and that also helps her establish, you know, whatever it is that she wants to get into. And so for me, there's a bigger purpose, but I also had to accept the harsh reality, which is that me deciding that that's what I want to do means I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be at every single milestone. I may miss certain things. But again, I had to accept that trade-off. I think accepting it is the key, because then you don't have that guilt trip. I'm going to be totally honest. When there's certain things that, you know, like sometimes I'll feel myself, her nanny will send me a picture or a video or something, you know, oh, they're at the zoo and they're doing this. I'm like, oh, at first I'll feel myself go to that place of guilt of like, oh, that should be you. Why aren't you there? And then it's like, no, praise the Lord that I have someone that I trust, who she can go spend time with and continue to experience things in life. And I can sit here and continue to build up this empire and do things that I hope make her proud one day. But it's a mindset. Like, that's literally what it is. And that's where, again, I tell people, it gets me so disappointed when I speak to women who tell me that they're currently in sports, but they feel like they need to move out of sports when they get to the point that they want to have a family. That literally breaks my heart. Because that, to me, says that they got into it, again, for the wrong reasons. They didn't get into it because it was part of a dream. If it was part of a dream, you'd make it all work. You'd make sure that you, you know, have a husband that supports that dream, and you find this lifestyle that works, and, you know, you just go for it. But it doesn't come without sacrifices. And I think, you know, they always say, you know, nothing worthwhile comes easy. But that's the truth. Everyone has to give up certain things, you know, to get to the point that you want to be. But I think for me, it was just giving up the idea that I had to have it all together. Like, yes, we have a nanny, and not only does she help watch our child, but she helps me do laundry and do dishes. I have no problem with people knowing that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to think that I have it all together. I don't. I never want people to think that my life is a true highlight reel. I want people to know that we have help. We have both of our families, you know, that help with all these different things to make it work. We have, you know, amazing people that if I need to go travel and my husband needs to travel, we have people who can, you know, take care of our children. So I think that's it too, is don't feel like you have to take it all on. So at the end of the day, like, to me, that sounds miserable to try to keep all those balls in the air, you know, as you're juggling everything. I think just give yourself the grace to say, I don't have it all together, but I'm doing my best day in and day out, and just trying to make an impact in every area that I touch at this point in time.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think the false reality that, you know, not even social media, but television, everything puts on us is that we have to make it look like we have it together. So I think it's important that people like you open up to others and let them know that it's okay to not have it all together, because that's not life. Like, life is not perfect, you know, like everything is not going to go exactly how you have planned for it to go or you want it to go. It's okay to not have it together. And I follow you on Instagram, and I've always like seen how Skylar has been such a part of your life. And I just wanted to ask you, like, what are some ways that you empower your daughter and motivate her? I know she's so young, but it's important to start early and, you know, start telling her to not accept anything than less than what she deserves. You know, like, how do you start and how do you empower your daughter?
Yeah, it's great. Positive affirmations for sure. I tell her at least probably 5 times a day that she's both beautiful and smart. You know, if we put on a new outfit, you know, she'll stand there and kind of look and want to show it off. And I'll say, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful and you're so smart. And she'll say it sometimes, you know, she'll say it to herself. And also the other thing is she asks me all the time for certain things. So she'll say, Mommy, can you buy me a fire truck? Can you buy me a rocket ship? Like, those are her new things lately. And I would say, yes, honey, I absolutely will. But you know what? We're going to work really hard to make sure that we figure out how we're going to buy that. So part of the empowerment for me is also saying yes, because I want her to dream big. I want her to think very, very big. For me, I think growing up, every time I asked for those things, and I love my parents to death, but they would always say, what do you think? We have a money tree in the backyard? Like, what do you think that this is? Whenever I would ask for things. And so I'd get discouraged, and I thought that I just wasn't worthy to have certain things in life. I think that's the one thing, is saying yes as much as I can. And also I let her see, like, I explain things to her, you know, like today she said, oh, can I sit and watch you work? And I said, no, you know, you're going to go with her nanny to the zoo today. And we sit down and we talk about things and we explain it. And I think that's the thing too, is like, she may be 2.5. The kids are really smart, and helping them understand what's going on in the world and giving them kind of a sense of like them being a part of what happens, to me, is an empowerment tool. It's even sometimes like she'll sit and say, oh, can I sit and watch you work? And I'm like, you're not going to sit and watch me. You know, you're gonna color. You're going to work on your little, you know, VTech laptop or whatever it may be. But I think that's it. And I also talk to my husband all the time and say, we have to be the example. It's even the little things of like, whether it's eating healthy or taking your vitamins, or, you know, whatever it may be. But that to me is super important. And I've noticed, even just at such a very, very young age, the whole empowerment thing is huge. I mean, she'll tell me, oh, mommy, I'm kind of scared. And I'll say, no, baby, you don't have to be scared. Like, you're brave. You can be brave. You know, we can do this. But I think too often people think that you have to talk to kids like at their level. Trust me, kids are so smart. And so being able to talk to them at a certain level, that's what we've done with Skylar, is just talking to her in a way almost as if she's adult, because she kind of is. She's kind of like a mini human. But I think that's been huge for us and any empowerment piece, and also just in her growth.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, along with being a mom, there's a lot of, I mean, like you talked about, there's a lot of, you know, time constraints and things like that. And you're like consistently doing things. So this is sort of a closing question to wrap things up. How do you stay motivated when you have so much going on all the time?
You know, it's everything is rooted in a deeper purpose. Like at the end of the day, none of this is mine. I mean, I literally believe that I'm here to leave a legacy behind. And so I think when you look at things that way, it helps you stay on track. It helps you stay motivated. You know, even things like this, like I love being able to be on a podcast episode, because at the end of the day, like it's not mine. Like God gave me this dream, and then he coupled that dream with all the different skills and talents that I have. And it's my job to live those out day in and day out and leave it behind. And I think when you can think about it that way, one, you stop wasting time on the things that don't make sense for your life. And two, you can easily find the motivation to keep going, especially during the times when it's really, really hard. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to turn to next. But that's been it for me. And that's what I highly, highly recommend, that people find that greater purpose, find whatever that meaning is in your life, because you're going to need it. You're really going to need it, especially those times when you're down and out and you just don't know how to keep going.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us today and talking with us. I know you give a lot of good insight that not only is going to help me and Caitlin, but also anyone listening. So shout out to you for that. So for those of you listening, you guys can follow Lauren on Instagram and other social media at Lauren E. Walsh, and then also at LW Branding if you want to follow her agency. So also don't forget to follow at Empower the Game on Instagram, and yeah.
And don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you so much, Lauren, again for doing this with us.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to see where all this goes.